Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we're going to continue in our series, How We Got Here. Today we have with us Anna Mae McMillan. Welcome, Anna Mae.
Thank you.
And we have Georgina with us today doing the questions, and we're going to have you start, Georgina.
All right. Thank you for having me. We're going to start with the first question, Anna Mae. How did you get saved?
It's kind of a bizarre kind of a deal, because before I got saved, when I was maybe 9 or 10, I had what I believe was an encounter with the Lord. And this is the series How We Got Here, so I just wanted to kind of touch on how, when I grew up, my time, we didn't have churches we went to a lot. Now, we did have Christians, I'm sure, and the Bibles they read, and the people's characters were... We hear stories about how people was back then. They just lived a beautiful life. But we didn't attend church. We went at Easter. And some people say Christmas. I don't remember Christmas. I remember Easter. And there was a lot of my friends tell me they went to Sunday school. I don't remember Sunday school.
Yes.
I do remember my dad teaching me my prayers. The Now My Lay Me Down. And then he taught me Our Father. But we're along the road, and I'm maybe 9 or 10, and I love to draw in color, and everything was packed, and we pulls in with a little cat, for those of you that's older, and we pulled into a motel, and I'm rummaging through the drawers to find pen and paper, and here's a Gideon's Bible. So I'm going to read. I love to read, too. And he pulls it out, and I don't know where I read, probably Genesis, I can't remember. And I read this and drawed and whatever, and I fell asleep. And I had this dream. Well, I'm was 9 or 10, I'm 63 now, so it's a long time ago, and it's as vivid as the day I had it. And I seen the heavens, and I seen stars, and in the middle of it, I seen this light. And how I described it to my dad, my grandpa, it was narrow at the top, and it got wider, and then it went narrow at the bottom, like the pen my grandpa used to carry in his pocket, the Parker pen to write. And it was a bright light in the darkness, and I seen little lights coming out of it, swirling around it, going down to earth, going back up, going in and out, and I woke up. And in my heart at the time, I said, that's God. Because I had visioned God as a child out of wee storybooks, like a white man with a beard sitting on a throne in heaven. And I had never read nothing. So I believe that the Spirit of the Lord gave me an encounter of there was an actual living God.
Yes.
Still didn't understand what it was to mean. So a few years goes by, and I'm about 12, 13, and Uncle Dodie comes onto the scene. And I'm a kid, you don't think kids listen. Kids listen to everything you say. And I hear some preaching to my people, and I hear some preaching to my grandpeople, and I hear some preaching to everybody, and the man at the 7-Eleven, and wherever you went, Uncle Dodie was preaching the gospel. And I heard it over and over, and it made me begin to think. And then my mom went and bought me, I think my mom got saved around that time. It might have been 74 or 5, or I'm not sure. And she bought me this little paraphrased children's Bible, and I began reading it, and that was my first actual Bible. And one day, February 1976, I'm 14 year old, I rides to church for my people. Uncle Dodie had found a wee Baptist church in Lubbock, and it was a bicentennial, 76, and it's as clear as yesterday. I went to the church, and I'm listening to him, and all at once it just clicked. I understood who Jesus was at that point. And I'm not going to say, like, I understand it everything, but I knew I needed a Savior. And I went down to the altar, I gave my heart to Christ, and I truly meant it. Even though you'd say, well, a 14-year-old, no, I needed a Savior. Mm-hmm. And we lived a different lifestyle back then than even now. And I got saved. And what I noticed with it was, what I feel, how I know I was saved, was back then when I would ride to work with my aunt as a wee girl, 10, 11, 12, I'd go into the grocery stores, excuse me, sir, I had two bags of groceries, and they got left yesterday. And, oh, honey, what was in it? And your two braids staring at them. Professional liars. But we didn't call that lying.
No.
That was Spracken, and that was
being
Barry
wide.
And White. You were being
smart.
White. So, yes, yeah, sir, we two of those large things of coffee and all the nuts to make the fruitcakes, and we were schooled on what to get. And back then, it might have been 4 quid's worth of groceries, be like saying $100 now or something. And Atlas would be working, and I would be filling the trunk at every little store, every little grocery store when I could.
Contributing, it was called.
Yeah. And you go home and, oh, this girl, you're so smart. What a wonderful. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. I got saved, and little things like that began to quicken to my spirit as I read the Word of God. That's wrong, enemy. So then I didn't want to do that anymore. Nobody even had to, you know, the Lord. And I guess we started going to church every Sunday as well. And then other things, like I remember our people back then, you'd go rent a motel room. How many? One. You paid by the head back then. And 75 people rolled into the room. There was cots and sleeping bags. And because that wasn't being bad. That was being wide. You cut in front of the line. Then... because that was what we were different wide. But as the progression, I know this sounds weird, I got saved, and that's when the progression of change, and boy, I still need a lot of change, but he began working on me back then. And I do believe that when you get saved, even little things or whatever it may be, and you'll never be perfect, to the day you die, you're going to change, because there's no man perfect, no, not one. But he begins to change you. And if you open your heart to that, if you read the word and you pray, you can't quit sinning. Sinning quits you. You know?
Amen.
And that's kind of how I got saved.
That's it. That was good. That was good. How did you get into ministry?
Another dream. I guess I'm a dreamer. I used to write poems when I was wee. And then one night I'm sleeping and I had a dream. I was singing actually on a stage, but I knew it wasn't like a concert. And it was a Christian song, and God laid it in my heart to buy a guitar, and I was nervous about it, so I'd write these wee poems in a book, and I went and bought a guitar. I think I was about 17, and I brought it home, and by the time they got done making a BAM out of me, I returned it that evening and got my money back for it. What are you doing with a guitar? We had no church. What are you going to play? Like it was a banjo, they called it, a hillbilly, but I knew... I really knew God wanted me to play the guitar and write songs, is what I thought. I write a lot of songs. And so now it rolls around Orange County, I think it was. And I took laryngitis really bad, and I couldn't speak at all, not a word. And this went on for 3 or 4 days. It kept getting worse and worse. And I got so scared, I thought I was never going to speak again. That's how bad it was. My throat was swollen. So I went into the bedroom, and I prayed. I said, Lord, if... And my heart, I felt, was like, okay, you ain't going to sing for me, then I'll just take your voice. That's kind of what I felt like, and I know God wouldn't do that, but that was what I felt like. And I went in the bedroom. I guess it was conviction and not serving God. And I went in the bedroom, and I prayed. I said, if you give me my voice back, I'll sing for you. And I woke up the next morning and could talk. So I went down and bought a guitar. I give... Back then, it was in a music store. You could buy them 50, but it was a cheap, horrible guitar. And I had a few people... Georgie Brown was one of them that knew how to chords. I got a chord book, and they showed me a few chords, and I would say within 6 weeks, the Lord, I learned 40 chords.
Yes.
And maybe be a month or so after we moved to Denver, I sung in Denver my first time at a meeting, a special, and I know it was horrible. And it was that song, Born Again. You remember it? I'm born again. You may think it foolish what I'm going to say. I'm not ashamed, and I'm not ashamed. One day I cried, Jesus, take my sin away, and that's when I was born again. And I sung that song, and after the meeting, there was a woman I had never met before. I'd seen her at the meetings, but I didn't know who. She was an older woman, and she came up to me, and she said, God told me for you to go home and read Psalms 40 and 3. That's for you. And I went home and read it, and it said, in your mouth I will put praise. You will sing before the congregation, and many will feel the Lord. And I have it in my Bible to this day. And I know in my heart... That's when God called me, and that was Michael's meetings, the beginning. We'd have a meetings for a few weeks, and that was it. There was no church. I just figured I was going to write songs. You remember, Martha, I used to write songs and things when we were kids.
And I was full of encouragement.
You printed out a few for me, remember? You brought a picture of Herman on my book, her dog, Herman.
I've tried to play a guitar. It is a hard thing to do. I think it is. The people who do it are called to do it 100%.
Well, I look at the ones who play in our church and my mouth hangs open because I can't read music. I only know self-taught off of a book chords, and I kind of jerry-rig it along. I never, ever was good, but I can jerry-rig it enough to get by. And that's, you know, when God calls you, that was my thing at the time. Because when the Lord allowed us to be a part of different revivals here in the town or a youth meeting, and people would call me and ask me to do music and stuff, and I would do it, it was out of necessity and just being available. I wasn't good, but he had to use what he had. And then praise you, Jesus, thank you, God. Underneath us coming up, I think we have some of the greatest bands ever. The music is...
Definitely.
That's why I don't play it no more. There's no need for it, you know? Amen.
Amen. How important is it being supported by your spouse? And I would also add supporting your spouse, because you and Charlie are definitely a team. We love you guys. You're our pastors.
We like the team
an awful lot. So that would be our question. How important is being supported and supporting your spouse in ministry?
It's absolutely everything. And I remember Charlie has always been a better person than me. He always calmer, always nicer. I think, you know, when we were younger even, I was more, could fly off the handle or whatever, or get nervous, and he was always my compass, you know. And when I would want to do a women's meeting or drive to a revival, he would say, leave the boys home when they were weak, because he didn't want to gel at the time. And he had this thing in his mind. He loved the Lord. He was saved. But he didn't want to get into it. He just wanted to go to work. He just wanted to supply for his family, go to work. And, you know, because he didn't peeve. He didn't carry on. He was like the perfect guy. And not that he thought he was, but I certainly did. But he just wanted to do his thing. But he supported me in doing what I did even back then. And then when we got later on in life and Charlie got called in the ministry, which he's excelled and left me in his dust, you know, the Bible says, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together lest ye agree? But I'd like to speak to the young women. If you have a husband that's trying, or if you're single and a boyfriend that's involved in the church and wanting to do ministry, support them.
Amen.
Because if you don't, you'll destroy them.
That's right.
A woman can destroy a man's ministry quicker than a man can destroy a woman's ministry. Believe me. And there's a scripture in, I think I wrote it down here, in, let me see, because my brain again. It's in Proverbs. Yeah, Proverbs. And it says, a wise woman builds up her house, but the foolish one tears it down with their own hands. And that's in Proverbs 14. I have the actual verse written down, and I can't find it with my own writing. So I think it's so important for women. And if you're not interested in the ministry, and it's a bore, then don't get yourself hooked up with somebody and destroy their ministry.
Well, and they might not understand it right now, but it's the greatest thing in the world to have to have someone godly, and to not have to worry about things that are ungodly in this world. This world's such a horrible place, and it influences, especially a young man. And if you've got a young man or an older man that wants to serve God, oh, encourage that, because the alternative is no good.
That's right.
That's the truth.
That's right.
And I lived with an encourager. Charlie would never, ever, it's like the podcast when I come to him. I said, Charlie, I think the Lord's laid on my heart to do a podcast. What's that? And because he's not real technical. So he tells him, well, you know what? He said, if God's laid it on you and he prayed with me, you go ahead and do it. And he'll support me in it 100%. You know, and you need that, because if he might have said to me, that sounds raggy or something, I might have shriveled up, because his opinion means so much to me spiritually. He's
yes.
The spiritual leader of our home, you know. And I'm going to tell you, Georgina, 99% of the time when I come to him with something, when he's spot on. So I really hold a lot in what he says.
Definitely.
And you got to have that. And he'll come to me. What do you think of this? And Charlie will. He'll come and he'll ask me to pray on stuff, or he'll ask me something, and we'll talk about it. And if you can't do that back and forth, if you can't share your vision together and walk in it together, I think it's not going to lead for a good marriage either. If you're a Christian, you don't have to minister off the stage.
No, no.
You're a Christian. You need to support one another in a Christian marriage as well.
Yes.
That's good, yes. That's good. What's your vision for our people, Anime?
I have a lot of vision for our people. A lot of them, Georgina mentioned in her podcast, you mentioned today, when we done yours, one of them would be for our people to start building each other up. I see a lot of tearing down. No one's perfect. Perfect God with imperfect people. That's the thing. And that's what makes it a God thing. If perfect people was doing stuff for God, then they would get the glory. But when the likes of myself or someone, you'd say, my gosh, that aggravating woman over there, and she's doing something for God, there's
hope
for me.
It's got to be God.
It's got to be God. So encourage one another and say, you know, I'll help them, or they can help me, or let's get together in this, because it ain't about us. This church is not Charlie and Anna May's church, which I've heard it called. It's New Life. It's our people's church. It's for everybody to grow and do their thing in the church and their children and their family. And we're just caregivers here. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So my vision would be that we would get together, push one another, and make ourselves available. All you have to do is make yourself available, like Esther did with the peanut butters, like Jeannie and them did with the hot dog, like every other thing. I've had people, we put drums up before we had drummers, and all at once people popped up. Make yourself available.
Amen.
You're important. You maybe think you're nothing, and you know what? That's good you think you're nothing, because it's us nothings that God uses. Do you know what I mean?
Amen.
And my vision is that our people would be used more and more, and less, you know what, less and less criticizing, like, did you see Susie making that peanut butter sandwich today, or whatever? Okay, then you do it. If Susie ain't doing it right, you do it.
That's it.
Unless that ain't the real reason that we're talking about Susie.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And what I'm trying to say is just, let's support one another and get behind it and get busy doing the work of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's my vision.
Amen. There's a big, there's a whole world out there. And know, too, that each one of those, when you make yourself available, that everything matters. Everything you're doing matters. It all matters.
Well, this is off the script that you brought up, criticizing and people being criticized. How is the best way to handle when you're being criticized in the ministry?
It's hard. We've all got it. Sometimes you get false accusations, and sometimes maybe it's the truth. Sometimes you're tired, and you come in tired, and people don't know you have personal crisis, and your mind's in a fog, and maybe you walk in Walmart or something, and you don't actually see somebody, and they think you bolt them, or craziness, and are people fine? For me, I used to take things personal, like, well, I never did nothing to that, you know. But now, if it's a brother or sister in Christ that comes to me and say, hey, Anime, and I've talked to you, Georgina, and you've seen me say I never thought about it like that, or Esther or Martha or whoever, and it's constructive criticism where it helps me. Take that advice, if it's constructive, godly, in the Word of God, and let it hone you and file you down and move forward with that. But if it's the other side of the scope, here's something lately the Lord showed me. Charlie confirmed it when he preached Easter Sunday. The Roman soldiers said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And sometimes people say and do things out of ignorance, mostly the unsaved.
Yes.
You know, you don't expect that off of real Christians. It's a mature. So what do? For the unsaved, you pray for them, and you ask God to save them. One, they get saved, they stop torturing you and everybody around you. And two, bonus, they go to heaven.
Amen.
And that's what a church in Christianity is about, bringing. So don't look at the person that's doing it. Look at the problem that's causing it.
Don't expect ungodly people to live a godly life.
That's a good way of putting it.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
And that helps you. You can step back from it, and you might flare up for a second. I never done nothing, and they said my cares waving, which wouldn't be lying if they said it about me, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And whatever the silly thing may be. And sometimes people's criticizing out or hurt. Maybe then people's hurting, and they're lashing out or something. You don't know what's going on personal in their life. So bring it up to God. Say, God, I don't know what's going on. Help them, Lord. And
from a place of compassion always would be a good response to criticism.
And with me, I try to keep it in mind, like, I just don't have the right to get offended. Like, you just got to let it go sometimes.
Yes.
Because well, if we offended Christ,
yeah. Yeah, it's hard, but sometimes you just got to let it go. Yeah.
Amen.
Anything else personal that you'd like to share, Enemy?
I guess the number one thing I'd like to say that to anybody listening to this, how amazing it is that God would graciously allow me and Charlie to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. The opportunity to minister in my hometown with people I love. A lot of people here is related to me through marriage. A lot of people is my new friends that I met through the ministry. It's blessed me. And we're, you know, when you're just a caregiver somewhere and God gives you that opportunity, I'm sorry. It means a lot. And I just want to thank God for it. And honestly, I'm not saying this to try to get a pat in the back or try to pull heartstrings, but when I think about God could use me and him, because we know ourselves and our heart's exceedingly wicked, and God even knows worse about me, he could use anybody. And that's the point I want to make. Make yourself available, because you're so important to God. He loves you so much. He wants to use you. He needs you, because we're the vessels on this earth that he calls. Mm-hmm. Don't let an opportunity pass by. Come, give us the honor of being part of us, or wherever you're at, whatever local church you have with our people, because nobody can minister to our people like our people. Nobody can put up with us, you know? And so just do it. If you got a vision, an idea, something crazy that you don't think God has a plan down the road. When I was a wee girl and he told me to play a guitar, I never dreamed we would have a church and a congregation and I would be allowed to be used. But if he tells you it, he has a purpose that you might not even see. Mm-hmm. Just leap out in faith and let God use you. And you know how you'll know you're heard from God, too? When doing this, make sure whatever God lays in your heart, go prayerfully, go to godly people, but open the Word of God up and make sure it lines up with the Word of
Amen.
God.
Amen. Yes.
And then you'll know that you know, and God will give you a confirmation.
Amen.
So I just pray that as a family of Christ, we could continue to fellowship and grow here, because it's all about him. It ain't about us. And that our people would just pull together. I just have that in my heart, Georgina, that our people need to pull together. What we could accomplish. Look what we accomplished in nonsense in the world, people.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And how could we not do that for the kingdom of God?
Amen. Amen.
Well, when you said available, I circled that when I was writing it down. God's not going to look and say, if you come to God and make yourself available, he's not going to say, I don't want you. I have better people to use. No, he's going to use you. If you want to be used, God's going to use you. There's a whole dying world out there.
And
everybody's important.
That's the people he wants. Like I said, if you're, it's more miraculous when you see somebody, when you hear those Cinderella stories, than it is if you heard even the wonderfulness of Billy Graham was a Cinderella story.
Yes,
it's more miraculous when you see that. So that's what God does. He's a perfect God that uses imperfect people. Amen. There was a saying in the 70s: Christians aren't perfect; they're just forgiven. And when we can realize that about one another and say, I think we need to look in a mirror more than we do into everybody's Facebook. I'll say use Facebook. Now, don't look at other people and compare yourself with, look in the mirror and say, God use me so God can use them.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, look where I was. Look what I had in my life and he used me. He's the one that does it. He's the miracle maker. He's why we have a church. He's why we have outreaches. He's why there's been healings. He's why there's salvations. He's why his sacrifice. We're just caregivers, you know?
If he can clean up my act, he can clean up anybody's.
And he wants to.
And he wants to. That's right. He's not turning nobody away. Amen.
One thing before we close, and I'd like Georgina, if she would, to lead us in the prayer. I'd like to give a call to salvation, because that's what Christianity is about. If you ain't sure that you've been born again, and you have no idea with all these podcasters, I don't know if you've listened to any or any at all, but you say, I don't really get it. Today you can get it. Just ask him in your heart. Ask him to open your eyes, read your word, and reveal himself to you, and he will. And there is no set prayer, but Georgina's going to lead us in a prayer, and if you feel today like praying it along, believe me, if you pray it in faith, you will be born again.
Thank you, my God. I thank you for our pastor, Charlie, and his wife, Anna Mae, my God. I thank you for them today. And I just asked if there's anyone that's listening to this today, my God, that don't know you personally, don't know you as their father, as their friend, my God, as their Savior today, my God. I would ask that they would cry out to you in repentance, my God, and that they would seek your face and that you would turn to them and fill them with your joy and your love and your peace, my God, today that passes all understanding, my God. I just ask that anybody that don't know you would come to your knowledge today, my God, of knowing you as their friend, my God. It's more than just a Savior, my God. It's that we know you as our friend, as our Father, as our Savior, as everything to us, my God. And if someone out there today don't know you that way, I would ask that they would find you in that way today.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, I guess that's it for this show. See you next time around. Thank you, Anime, for coming on.
Yeah, we never thanked her. It was just like...
It's so weird.
It's so weird. It's just so weird. Me and her are like, okay.
God bless.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast, and remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free, and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.